You're listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional engineer, professional futurist, and sometimes occasional sessional instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. And this is a weekly show that looks at future trends and issues and important items that affect your daily life and will be affecting your life into the future. Welcome to the show. We're continuing our look at the book, The Purpose Effect, Building Meaning in Yourself, Your Role, and Your Organization by Dan Pointyfract. Last show, we were looking at the purpose of purpose. And at this point, it'd be very interesting to define exactly what is purpose. In his posthumous 2004 book, Pathway to Bliss, Joseph Campbell provides us with an appropriate introduction to the concept of purpose. I found Campbell to have been a brilliant philosopher and writer. He was a world that embodied altruism and giving. Campbell was arguably someone who knew how to demonstrate purpose and meaning in what was obviously his true calling, writing. Here's an example of Campbell's work. What I think is that a good life is one hero journey after another. Over and over again, you are called to the realm of adventure. You are called to new horizons. Each time, there is the same problem. Do I dare? And then, if you do dare, the dangers are there, and the help also, and the fulfillment or the fiasco. There's always the possibility of a fiasco, but there's also the possibility of bliss. Purpose. It is a word that offers the possibility of bliss. While purpose in the workplace is imperative, leaders are potentially overlooking its significance to the overarching health of our civilization. My experience and research suggests purpose ought to be the objective, but it is the misalignment of the personal role and organizational categories of purpose that ensures the journey towards purpose never begins. Which begs a few questions. What is the true purpose of an organization? Is it a for-profit or private organization merely a vehicle for economic rents, profit hoarding, unethical levels of greed, and a fixation on increasing the share price? Is the private organization's primary responsibility a fiduciary obligation to maximize shareholder value or profit margins? Have well-rewarded leaders of organizations rejected the interests of all other stakeholders and the common good to selfishly fill their own bank accounts and satisfy their own hedonic impulses? There are many additional questions which may refute specifically to a public sector or not-for-profit organization as well as a private firm. Is the purpose of an organization and its leaders to uphold power and positional rank? Is one of the goals for leaders to command or control team members? Is the organization's structure burdened by rigid operational systems created by cabinet shuffles, organizational changes? Organizations of any sort that are replete with heavy bureaucratic processes and hierarchically driven management styles may continue to exist simply because it is easier. In fact, mantras such as, quote, "but this is how we've always done it," unquote, might be linked and involved as the de facto rationale. But if this is the case, what is the true purpose of the organization? One academic who has been sounding alarm bells aligned with this hypothesis is Otto Schwarmer. He is a senior lecturer at MIT and the founding chair of the Presensing Institute, an awareness-based action research community that creates social technologies, builds capacities, and generates holding spaces for profound social renewal. Schwarmer has long argued that organizations and their leaders need to shift from ego to eco. In other words, he believes the organization at large has morphed into empires instead of generating well-being for all. In the book he co-wrote with Katrin Kaufer, Leading from the Emerging Future, From Ecosystem to Ecosystem Economics, the authors argue that there are 8 systemic disconnects that are aiding and abetting the current situation of purposeless organizations. One of the problems they surface is particularly interesting. There is a disconnect between institutional leadership and people. Disconnect results in a leadership void that shows up in the widely shared sense that we are collectively creating results that no one wants. This collective condition is felt helplessness and disempowerment and is a hallmark of our system-wide leadership void or bubble that characterizes today. Purpose might be reflected by a team member who yearns for a greater sense of understanding, autonomy, and even duties in the role they fulfill. It could be called individual's calling, as another academic, Dr. A.R. Elvengoven of the University of Victoria suggests. Perhaps purpose is the combination of a calling and being able to do good work. The Work Foundation, an independent charity founded in 2002 in part of Lancaster University, influences, advises, and consults with organizations on a better form of capitalism, promoting, as their motto states, quote, "good work for all," unquote. Is that what we need in the workforce? Good work for all? Perhaps we may look to Greek philosopher Aristotle for assistance here. He believed and taught that human beings were driven by purpose, autonomy, and the natural desire to seek out and understand the truth. A person's ideals manifest when they are pursuing and then attaining a life of purpose, ultimately the end state of human well-being. This end state is sometimes referred to as eudaimonia, the Greek word for human flourishing. Elango and his colleagues indicated a calling is a course of action in pursuit of pro-social intentions, embodying the convergence of an individual's sense of what he or she would like to do, should do, and actually does. During an interview, I asked Elango why purpose is so important to one's role at work. He responded that having a purpose to our work is convergent with our sense of who we truly are and what we stand for in life. Elango believes the authenticity that is rooted in such clarity of purpose in work motivates team members to greater effort and contributions. Perhaps this is the clue towards our definition of purpose. A culture of purpose. Earlier, I suggested there is a relationship between an organization's culture and purpose. Deloitte LLP has unearthed evidence suggesting a culture of purpose in the organization directly creates confidence, short and long-term growth, as well as an improved internal culture and financial benefits. Based on their research, Deloitte's chairman of the board, Punit Ranjan, believes, quote, an organization's culture of purpose answers the critical questions of who we are and why we exist through a set of carefully articulated core beliefs. He contends an organization that instills a sense of purpose, permeating all stakeholders, including team members, customers, and society, not only builds business confidence, but fosters a thriving business community. The firm investigated the concept when they coined top drivers of employee confidence. For these workers who felt a very strong sense of purpose in the organization, respondents indicated a commitment to delivering top quality products and services was the overarching driver of confidence. For those team members and organizations that lacked purpose, the leading driver of confidence was a fixation on financial results, specifically the bottom line. Furthermore, as it relates to team member engagement in those organizations where individuals felt a high level of purpose, 73% of the workforce indicated they were fully engaged, whereas in organizations devoid of purpose, only 23% of the employees felt the same way. Finally, and consistent with the benefits of a purpose-driven organization, 82% of respondents from the Deloitte research who felt the strongest sense of purpose were far more optimistic about their own future prospects and the ability to stay ahead of industrial disruptions than those 42% who did not. Tellingly, 79% of the purpose crowd believed in the organization's long-term prospects to outperform the competition, whereas 47% of those who had no sense of purpose in their place of work. It is not solely Deloitte who has surfaced interesting data points. When studying sustainability factors, arguably what should be a key part of an organization's purpose, McKinsey and Company warned organizations that they should integrate environmental, social, and governance issues into their business model and act upon them. Another firm, the Economist Intelligence Unit, or EIU, purported large business benefit, including positive productivity gains, when they were able to improve purpose and engagement in the workforce. When individuals are engaged, stated the EIU, the engagement leads to improved customer satisfaction, increased productivity, and reduced employee turnover and absenteeism. Even Goldman Sachs, the global investment banking firm, partially responsible for the bankruptcy of AIG in 2008's financial crisis, had the wherewithal to create the GS Sustain Focus List for 2007. This covers a variety of companies. It ranks based on environmental, social, and governance records. According to Goldman Sachs, since the list's inception in 2007 through the end of 2013, the so-called GS Sustain Focus List has outperformed the MSCI All Country World Index by over 43%. MSCI, formerly Morgan Stanley Capital International, is used by many financial firms to benchmark global stock investments and funds. If there is indeed a relationship between culture and purpose, it leads to improved organizational results. What exactly is the purpose of work? The purpose of work. Famed advertising mogul George Luis once said, quote, most people work at keeping their job rather than simply doing a good job. If you're the former, you're leading a meaningless life. If you're the latter, keep up the good work, unquote. To pay the bills, most of us have to work. The question we might pose, however, is whether work is merely a job or, with it, the possibility of a meaningful life and a meaningful experience. Depending on your situation, work is either loved, liked, tolerated, loathed, or treated with ambivalence. For certain, though, it is a guaranteed topic of discussion at any social gathering you attend. When attending any kind of dinner party, for example, how many times have you asked or have you been asked the question, so how's your work? Management expert Peter Drucker once said of the link between life and work, quote, to make a living is no longer enough. Work has to make a life, unquote. When work can, in fact, make a life, we know we are resting confidently in the sweet spot between personal, organizational, and role purpose. But for a large portion of today's team members, work seems to be an act of stressing, of stress, the consequence of not finding one's purpose in their role. Perhaps this engagement of team members stems from a lack of purpose in the organization itself. I asked several people for their definition of work. Some interesting examples surfaced. First example, best thing in the world if you can't wait for the weekend to finish. Worst thing in the world if you say, I don't like Mondays. SAP Global Operations Director John McNaughton, UK. Second example, engaging tasks that provide returns such as monetary compensation, personal growth, and meaning. 99 Tests founder and CEO Praveen Singh, India. Third example, a purpose-driven series of mental and physical activities during which the collective learns and shares their learning with others. Founder, Indeleogenesis, Richard Martin, UK. Next example, minds collaborating for a same purposeful result. Henry Krantz Company, LLC, Purchasing Manager, Deborah Crevo, USA. Last example of the definition of work, to achieve something of substance. Osprey Datter co-founder Andrew Marks, USA. It is evident from such responses the concepts of meaning, purpose, achieving, engaging, and collaborating comprise the patches for an intriguing quilt of definitions. What does your own quilt say about work? What does your definition of work say about you? Do you define work? Both the place where you are employed and the profession that brings you your trade with words like flourishing, meaning, well-being, balance, community, giver, purposeful. Are you viewed as someone who cares about the purpose of the organization? Does your organization bring purpose and meaning to all stakeholders and its operating mandate and mission? Or, perhaps, you think of work as a quest to climb a career ladder, judging success by the improvement of your title, remuneration level, and the number of direct reports you are in charge of. Is work the quest to assume greater power for you? As American journalist Robert Quillen once wrote, quote, by working faithfully 8 hours a day, you may eventually get to be the boss and work 12 hours a day, unquote. Is your purpose solely to become the boss and to work longer number of hours each day? Maybe you view work merely as a paycheck, as a means to an end. Maybe work is slowly a job leading to a state of individualism. In 1831, French historian Alexis de Tocqueville referred to the state as, quote, a calm and considered feeling which disposes each citizen to isolate himself from the mass of his fellows and withdraw into the circle of family and friends. With this little society formed to his taste, he gladly leaves the greater society to look after itself. If the organization's purpose creates isolation, loneliness, or a sense of individualism, will a team member ever achieve purpose in their role? And what about in their life? Perhaps work is the fixation on profit. If you are a private company, profit is important and necessary, obviously. Without profit, there simply will be no business. But the question of a company needs to ask itself whether or not it is solely focused on profit, or perhaps shareholder return in some cases, rather than serving the interests of all stakeholders. Recall Fairphone's example. As a private company, it seeks to make a profit, but not at the expense of the overarching purpose. If you are working for a not-for-profit or public sector organization, are you operating in harmony with the board, regulators, or fellow team members? Take, for instance, the United States government. Each year, the United States Office of Personnel Management aggregates employee engagement results from over 48,000 offices across 82 federal agencies. In 2014, almost 400,000 workers participated in what is known as the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey, or FEVS. Since 2010, job satisfaction is down 8 percentage points to 64%. With almost 3 million workers in the government, there's roughly 1 million people who are dissatisfied in their roles at work. Other data points demonstrate continued wear and tear on the engagement levels of employees. Only 52% of workers, for example, believe their management does an effective job at encouraging communication and collaboration. That correlates to only 55% of all U.S. government employees being satisfied with the organization they work for itself. Judging from global employee engagement surveys, where levels of internal employee engagement continue to remain anemic, well over three-quarters of those employed on the planet do not find meaning in their work. Some of the blame for this falls squarely on the individual, for certain, but organizations devoid of true purpose and senior leaders fixated only on power or profit do nothing to help the current plight of the purpose of work. At its root, work is a means by which we get paid to partially satisfy what Abraham Maslow defined in 1960 as, quote, the hierarchy of needs. In particular, when we are paid for performing at work, we can utilize the funds and are remunerated with to satisfy such psychological and safety needs. It can also include personal requirements such as financial, economics, property, goods, food, drink, and well-being and health. But the workplace is not solely a place to be paid, is it? Some argue that team members merely rent their skills to an organization in return for compensation. Might the other three components of Maslow's thesis, namely belonging, esteem, and self-actualization, be incorporated into the way work ought to be concluded and conducted? Perhaps this is where team members can reach the sweet spot. Perhaps purpose at work occurs at a state of what we may refer to as workplace actualization. If work is to make a life, as Peter Drucker suggested, the purpose of the organization might need to shift to include a greater degree of meaning. If this occurs, perhaps more team members will be able to feel a sense of purpose in their roles as well. If this occurs, I would like to argue that work can also make them a life. Perhaps at this point there may be a link between self-actualization and workplace actualization. Is this the real purpose to purpose?
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby, and you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, Instructor of Future Studies at Simon Fraser University. We're now going to take a short break and listen to a very important public service announcement.
With thousands of homeless animals entering SPCA shelters each year, pet overpopulation is a serious problem in BC. But it's one you can help prevent. Spay or neuter your companion animal today. From our perspective, every homeless animal on our streets or in our shelters is one too many. For more information on spaying and neutering initiatives, visit the BC SPCA website at www.spca.bc.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional futurist.
Welcome back. We're looking at the purpose effect, building meaning in yourself, your role, and your organization by Dan Pointefract. We're in the chapter, The Purpose of Purpose. Now we're looking at affecting purpose. The etymology of purpose is important to understand. Circa 1300, the old French word propos and the Anglo-French word propos combined with propose to give us purpose. Whether as an intention, aim, or goal, or to put forth, purpose can denote a state of being, a noun, or it creates action as a transitive verb. There might be a purpose to attending a meeting, or you might be seeking purpose in the meeting itself. Aaron Hurst, author of The Purpose Economy, captured the importance of purpose in the workplace when he wrote, quote, "Much like technology a few decades ago, purpose has now become a business imperative. In today's world, running an organization without an intentional emphasis on purpose for employees and customers is like running an organization in the early 1990s and failing to implement technologies," unquote. I asked Aaron why he felt it seemed so difficult for senior leaders in today's organizations to establish a purpose economy, to embed a purpose culture at work. His response highlighted necessary ingredients. Creating a successful organization in the purpose economy requires two types of leadership. You need authentic leaders who are able to model purpose and vulnerability, and you need leaders who have the courage to look beyond short-term results. Indeed, purpose will never envelop an organization by quarter's end. But an organization to become purposeful, it requires time and effort. The long game ought to be considered. Richard Ellsworth, author of Leading with Purpose, claimed, quote, "The highest level of individual development and the greatest happiness are derived from serving ends beyond the self, ends that employees value, that enable them to feel that they are making a difference, and consequently that being increased meaning to their lives through work. Can the majority of the for-profit organizations and leaders argue that their firm is not being run as though the overarching role is to extract value in favor of profits or power? Can not-for-profit or public sector institutions honestly state their mission is to serve the community and the team members it employs?" So we're going to be looking at this in more detail in future shows and going much deeper into various forms of purpose. For example, moral purpose and creating a personal sense of purpose, developing organizational purpose, establishing role-based purpose, and many other areas of great interest. So please stay tuned.
You have been listening to Future Talk on CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby, and Future Talk is a weekly show on important issues that affect you and your future. And this is Dr. Teneri, professional futurist, reminding you that if you're not willing to make the effort to invent your own future, then others will be only too happy to invent it for you. See you next week.
Listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
Broadcasting on the internet and at 90.1 FM from high atop Burnaby Mountain, you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM.
Hello and welcome to Viewpoints. My name is Boris.